Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Hope Unyielding. On Hope Unyielding, our goal is to explore and experience God's faithfulness through the medium of personal story. I'm Hope Johnson, and today I'll be talking with my father, Bruce Johnson, about his 40-year journey through depression, how God has worked in and through his struggle, and how he would counsel those who are suffering. In my opinion, Bruce rivals the Dos Equis guys, the most interesting man in the world. He's been performing since he was 8 years old, but he worked full-time as a professional illusionist for 15 years and traveled all over the world with his show. I definitely had a very interesting childhood. He then worked in full-time ministry for 12 years, first as the associate pastor of outreach and small groups at the Church of the Open Door in Hamden, Maine, then with Frontier Ventures as the director of campus ministry at the University of Maine. If you listened to the first episode, you heard me talk a bit about my struggle with clinical depression and how my dad's compassion and understanding of my struggle gave me a window into how God saw me as I suffered, and his encouragement and wisdom were pivotal in my recovery. He has an amazing story to tell and so much wisdom to share, and I'm very excited to dive in. Hi, Dad.
Hello, Hope. How are you today?
I'm great. How about you?
Good, good. I'm not sure I can live up to that introduction. Your best.
I could say more. Lots of good stuff, but that'll have to do for now. So just so people could get to know you a little bit better, could you tell us a fun fact about yourself?
Fun fact about myself is I used to work in a restaurant as a singing waiter.
Although
I cannot carry a tune in a bucket.
You've told me that story before. That's pretty funny. Did someone say, "Oh, you're throwing me off key," one of the other waiters or something?
Yeah. Actually, I got hired because of my illusions and comedy magic and that type of thing. And they needed another male person in the choreography for the numbers that the guys did together.
Okay.
And I just lip synced and tried to make the best illusion I could. And one night a guy pulled me over to the table after the show and he goes, "Man, you are a fantastic magician. And don't let the fact that you can't sing stop you."
So I got carried away
with my own illusion that night and sung a little too loud.
Gosh. Well, fortunately, I am my father's daughter in that respect as well. And I can't sing either. So
I don't know where that elusive musical gene is. it's escaped us.
Uh-huh. The reason I invited you on today was, like I said, because you've had an amazing journey with God through 40 very difficult years of struggling with chronic depression. And the more Christians I talk to, the more I see that this is a huge problem, a huge struggle that's not often talked about or addressed in a way that's really healing and helpful for those struggling. So to start out, just so everyone's on the same page, how would you define depression?
I'm sure that people experience depression in a variety of ways. So again, when I speak on this topic, it's from my perspective. Depression, chronic depression, is an overwhelming sense of hopelessness, no matter that your circumstances at the current time may be very good. I felt it physically. It was like a physical weight in my chest, on my heart. And the best way I can describe it is to say, it's the kind of grief that you feel when a loved one has died, but there's no circumstance like that to connect it to. So again, your circumstances from the outside looking in may be excellent. People may say, "Oh, you're so blessed. You have a charmed life." But inside, you're almost grieving every day with that sense of, again, almost like as if somebody you love dearly has passed away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've definitely experienced that as well. You know, and some of the times in my life where I have felt the most blessed from the outside looking in. It's, I mean, I feel like that's a great definition of depression, and it's not something that is visible. And as a result, when you haven't experienced it, it's really hard to know what to do when someone you love is struggling. But could you tell us a little bit about your own story? So when did you first realize that something was wrong?
The first bouts with depression I recall were in high school, and they were episodic, meaning that it was usually something circumstantial that was bringing it on. And I didn't know it was depression. I had no clue. I just knew that there were times where I was really discouraged, not looking forward to certain things, maybe having a bit of anxiety as well.
Okay. And that's, I mean, and that's kind of where I started when I was in high school as well. And I didn't really know that anything was wrong. I just thought that because I wasn't having a good experience in high school, that it was all circumstantial. And it wasn't until I got to college that I started to realize, okay, I think something's not right. You know, others around me aren't experiencing the world in the same way that I'm experiencing it.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. It wasn't until I think my late 30s where the depression became chronic and constant.
So can you talk a little bit about that? So from your late teens through your 30s, you struggled with this, and I know it. You know, depression doesn't only affect yourself, but it affects those around you. And I what you've talked about with you and mom and how that affected your relationship, but also how she was a support in that. Could you talk a little bit about that, you know, as you went through your 20s and you were struggling, how she helped you?
Absolutely. Well, you know your mother almost as well as I do. And she's just an incredible woman.
Yeah.
And so I know when my depression was at its worst, when I was in the deepest, darkest valley that I'd ever been before, I went to her. I felt a lot of pressure about providing for the family. There just were a lot of things going on. And sometimes depression can make you feel like a failure. Whether circumstantially you are or not. But I remember going to her and saying, "Hey, is it okay if I fail?" You know? And what I was basically saying was, "Will you still love me if, you know, everything goes away and we have to kind of start over again?"
Yeah.
And I can't remember her exact words, but again, you know, your mother, what she communicated to me was, you know, my love for you is not attached to circumstances. I love you regardless of what your struggles are and whether we are, quote, successful or not.
Well, that's beautiful. And I do feel like that gives you such a window into the heart of God. And as I struggled, what helped me the most was learning and experiencing Christ's compassion. And as I studied, I found that that was the emotion that was most talked about in the Bible, was his compassion. I mean, he had so many different emotions as you look through the four Gospels, but over and over, when someone was struggling, when someone was hurt, who needed healing, his first response was compassion. And that has helped me so much through my own struggle. And when you have people in your lives who give you that window into how God sees you, I mean, I think that is so vital to recovery. It's not about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, or the worst thing someone can say is just snap out of it. I don't get it. Your circumstances are good. You're being selfish. You know, there's all these things that you can tell someone based on a perspective of someone who just hasn't experienced it. But I love that that's the way mom responded. And, you know, I think that's a great example for those who have people in their lives who are struggling. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think the difficult thing about depression for people that don't suffer from it is its invisible nature.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that there aren't signs or clues or you can't see the effects of depression in somebody's life. But what I mean is it's not like having a broken arm. You know, if you have a broken arm, you go to the doctor, you get a cast, and it's very visible that you've been injured. But this is something so deep and internal that it's invisible to the naked eye. So I think the worst thing you can say to someone who's legitimately struggling with depression is, as you said, snap out of it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, just have a better attitude. Because there's something inside that's broken.
Yeah.
And, just like if you broke your leg, I wouldn't say, snap out of it, get up, come on, just walk it off, because you'd actually be doing more damage to your body.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that leads to another topic, that of medication and medical intervention regarding depression. You know, that's something I do believe in the past 15 years or so that has become more accepted in the church, but I have seen people who don't understand it. And so what would you say about that as someone who has struggled with chronic depression, not merely circumstantial?
It's an issue. It's an important issue. I would say, first of all, that when we're living in open rebellion toward God, that can cause depression, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a root of sinfulness that will lead you to be depressed, but that's not every case, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are many situations where people are predisposed to depression because of their physical makeup. There's chemical imbalance. There are a number of ways that someone can unfortunately suffer from depression. So I'm a person who believes that not only can God heal supernaturally, and he does choose to do that sometimes, God also heals us through the good gifts he gives us, such as doctors and Christian counselors and those type of things. So God chooses when and how he'll heal us. And I don't close the door to that. So I think if your depression is caused by some kind of chemical imbalance in your body, it would make sense that a medical doctor might be able to help you restore that balance. I don't think medicine is the answer for everything.
Right.
I think, unfortunately, we live in a culture where sometimes it seems like that some doctors, not all doctors, but some doctors will just throw medicine at you instead of maybe digging a little deeper to find out what if that medicine will actually help the problem or just alleviate the symptoms. I know that's a long answer, but it's a complex issue. So I would be very careful before I went on medication, but it's not wrong or sinful to use a medicine that God has provided if it actually helps us, restore balance to our bodies.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great answer. I think it's really balanced, and it takes into account that we're multifaceted beings. We're not merely spiritual beings, and we're not merely physical beings. Everything is truly interconnected, and God can use medicine to restore our equilibrium. But it's not just a matter of go to the doctor, they throw some pills at you, you're great. You know, in my own life, counseling has been so important, and it's gotten to some deep root issues that show triggers for me. What depresses me? What changes can I make in my life? What lies am I believing about God that are leading to this depression?
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
Just there's so much that goes into it, and it's a learning process, and it's a life, you know, it's a lifelong process. I know for you, you've recently really had some amazing victory in this area. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I can. I'd be glad to. I try to let as many people know about this as possible. This is an example of God using medicine to heal, which again is one of the ways that God chooses to heal, I believe. I've just gone through a course of TMS, which is transcranial magnetic stimulation. And that was for 8 weeks, 5 days a week. And basically, my understanding of the process, they take an electromagnet and they put it over the part of your brain that stimulates mood. And I think like 15, 20 second bursts for about 20 minutes or half an hour, they shoot those bursts into your brain. It's not invasive. It's not painful. And after 8 weeks of that, I felt normal. And if you struggle with chronic depression, you know the desire not to be over the top happy
right,
every day.
Right.
Just to be normal. Normal mm-hmm. feels incredible. And I don't know how long this will last, but it was 4 months ago that I finished this course, and I've been thanking God every day that he's healed me of my depression. So there was something in that part of my brain that wasn't functioning correctly. I don't know the reason for that, but this magnetic stimulation caused that mood-inducing part of my brain to, I guess, come alive again. I guess I'm not a doctor. I can't explain technically all the ins and outs of this. All I know is I went through the process and it's had an incredible impact. And so I'm not sure everybody that suffers from depression is a candidate, but I would definitely talk to, I would definitely Google TMS, not transcendental meditation. That's not what I'm talking about. I said it the other day.
Transcendental TMS. Meditation is going to bring you in a completely different direction.
Exactly. No, it's transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Okay.
And for the last few months, I've just felt normal, and it's been incredible.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That's so great. I mean, especially after so many years of not feeling normal, and then when you do feel normal, it's such an exhale of I'm not absolutely constantly on my guard. I'm not constantly feeling this physical weight on me.
Absolutely. But I do want to say something really important that you mentioned God's compassion, which is linked to God's love for us. God is also a God of economy. And what I mean by that is I don't believe that he wastes anything, not even our struggles and our pain. He is the only one who can take a difficult or a bad situation and turn it for good. And there's a passage. Can I share a passage with you?
Yes, please.
This amazed me. This was quite a few years ago. I stumbled over this passage. I don't know why I hadn't seen it before. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And you have to understand going into to the first time I really realized what this passage was saying, I always envisioned the Apostle Paul as spiritual Superman. You know, like I thought if you pulled back his robe, there'd be an S on his chest. S on there. And he always gave 110%. He was always charging ahead. He was always, you know, never giving up, never say die. And there's some truth to that. I mean, seems to me to be a type A personality and just a highly intelligent person. So this is why this passage amazes me. I'm going to start 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 3. He says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Mm-hmm. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. So one of the things Paul is saying here is one of the reasons we go through struggles and difficulties, or that God allows those things, is so that we can minister to other people on a deeper level. I'm sure this is true of you, but I know for me, through the years, I've talked to so many people, believers and unbelievers, who've struggled with depression. And God has enabled me to minister them on a deeper level than I would have been able to, because I can actually say, I know what you're going through. And it is God who's given me the grace and the strength and the hope to keep moving forward despite the depression. So that was the first reason, so we can minister to others. Then he goes on and says, he talks about how low he was. Again, this was not the Paul that I had envisioned.
Right.
He says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. So I don't know what the situation was completely, but he talks about it being crushing, overwhelming, beyond his ability to endure. And he actually thought he was going to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. So he says the second reason that, or the second positive effect of these difficulties, were that I couldn't rely on my own strength, my own intelligence anymore. I had to get to a point where I was at the end of my rope so that I realized I could only rely on God. And for someone like Paul, who was accomplished and a type A personality, I think that was very important that he got there, because there would have been a lot of things he could have done because of the way God created him on his own. Right.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, I'm almost done too. He goes on to say, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. And so if you're struggling with depression today, first of all, you have my heartfelt condolences and compassion. I know how dark and difficult it can be. But please also know that as God helps you through this journey, that he's giving you a blessing in disguise, that he's enabling you to minister to people and to learn to only rely on God. And I'm not saying that depression is a blessing. That's not what I'm saying. Believe me. I hope that everyone that hears my voice today will become healed of depression. But there are things that God can do through any kind of difficulty to grow our faith and enable us to reach others.
Well, I completely agree with that. There's such a domino effect. I mean, I just think of how your story and your experience, you ministered to me in that, and then God has opened up doors for me to minister to others who are struggling and to share the hope that I've found in Christ. And it's so true. Just everything you just said and went through with Paul's words, they apply so well to anyone who is struggling in this way. So the last thing I want to ask you is, What was your lowest point, and how did God minister to you in that time and give you the hope and strength that you needed to move forward?
I was in my late 30s. I was in the deepest, darkest place I'd ever been as far as the weight of depression. And there was just an overwhelming sense of hopelessness. Couldn't seem to even get out of my own way. And at that time, at least my perception was, I should say it that way, that in the Christian culture and also in the culture at large, admitting that you were depressed seemed to be saying that you had a character flaw, that you were, you had this tremendous weakness, right? It's funny because, again, talking about Paul, he says it's when I'm weak that I'm strong, right? When I'm emptied of my own strength, it's then that God's strength can come in and really do some work.
Right.
But God led me to the Psalms, and he began to minister to me every day through the Psalms. And that doesn't mean that the depression lifted or got less. It was a battle. Every minute was a battle. Every minute seemed like 100 years. But I definitely felt the presence of God speaking to me through the Psalms. And I began to notice something about David. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. So you can call this pop psychology. I don't know. But I began to see David as someone who suffered from depression. And perhaps he was even a manic depressive, because when in the Psalms, when he is up, he is up. Right? He is so passionate, so excited. But when he is down, it's like he is in a deep, dark place.
Right.
What I loved about what David would do, though, in his writing was, even those times when he almost complained to God because he didn't understand why wicked people were prospering and good people were suffering, and it would always seem, though, he would come to the conclusion that he was going to trust God. Even though he didn't understand it, even despite how he was feeling, he was going to trust God, that God is completely good, loving, and God was somehow working out his plan. So I often recommend the Psalms for people who are struggling with depression.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've had a very similar experience. One Psalm that I find really, you know, if someone were to ask me, what's your life verse, I would say Psalm 73:26. And it says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And for me, it's just such a beautiful reminder of the fact that my relationship with God, my salvation, does not depend on how I'm feeling or what I'm achieving. You know, my flesh and my heart may fail, and they will fail. And I think that's something that depression reveals, is it reveals something that's true for all humans, that we can't do it ourselves in a way that people who don't struggle might just never realize. You realize how dependent you truly are on God. You say, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart.
Yes.
And that's God has been the strength of my heart through this whole journey. You know, is there a psalm that you would recommend that's really helped you?
I can't think of a particular psalm off the top of my head. I remember that summer when I was so deeply depressed. I started from Psalm 1 and just worked my way through. And I needed it. It was like medicine. It was like God giving me just that strength I needed to get through the next minute, the next hour, the next day.
Yeah. Totally tracking with you there. Totally tracking with you. Now, before we close up, is there any last piece of advice or wisdom you'd give to those who today are struggling?
Yes. Depression makes you, in general, makes you want to isolate. And isolation only perpetuates more depression. So if you're struggling with depression today, reach out to somebody that you respect their walk with God, you trust them, and tell them what's going on. Find a Christian counselor. Again, Christian counselors are probably like Christian pastors. There's good ones and there's lots of good ones, right? And so God does want us to be discerning. So, but pray that God would lead you to a Christian counselor who will counsel you from a biblical perspective. Go see a doctor, go see a primary care physician and see what they say is going on. They may have some insight into what your body's doing. But my overall message is reach out for help. Don't stay isolated because that will not help. Most likely that will just make things worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are wise words, wise words. Thanks so much for sharing your story. Thanks for sharing so openly and truly pointing us to Christ in the midst of something that is such a huge struggle in our culture right now.
Christ is our only hope, and he's our every hope.
Yes.
And when
yes.
I say hope, I don't mean as in I hope so, like wishful thinking. I mean as in confident expectation.
Yes, confident expectation. I love that. Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope that it was an encouragement for you if you are struggling with depression or have someone in your life who is. If you are struggling, I want to reiterate what my dad said. Reach out to someone you trust, go to a doctor, and seek out a counselor. You have absolutely no reason to feel ashamed about your struggle, and know that Jesus is looking on you with eyes of love, not of frustration or indifference. If you look at the show notes, you'll see I've given the link to a sermon by Charles Spurgeon on the compassion of Christ. He was a pastor who himself fought depression. This sermon was such a beautiful find, and it's given me such a window into the personal, overwhelming love that Jesus has for us and how he longs to comfort us in the suffering we experience on earth. I'm praying for you all, and I'll see you next time.